kind of jacked up. It's been a good week. Got some rest. I hope you were able to stay in and maybe get out and play a little bit in the snow and all that good stuff. But today is a day that I think that, you know, I always say you're not here by accident. There's a reason why you're here this morning, a reason why I'm here. And so he's got something for you and he's got something for me. And so let's just ask him to be very clear in what he has so that we can learn it and take it out of here. But we're in a series, second week of our series, called Perspective. And basically, it's just about a shift in the way that we think about things. And, you know, maybe you've been there with me. You know, you find out something about somebody or something, and it totally changes the way that you think about them or about that situation. You learn a little bit of information and all of a sudden everything looks completely different because now you understand where that's coming from and maybe why they are where they are. Maybe that's why they're reserved and it's hard to get to know them. It's because of something they've been through. And so now you can begin to just minister to them and talk to them and all of a sudden they look completely different to you. And that's what this whole series is about, is helping us to be able to look at where we are and be able to have a shift in thinking that allows us to become all that God wants us to be in it. And so some of the ways that God has shifted my thinking is, you know, sometimes, you know, you think about the bigger an organization is, or the more people you have to kind of to work around and work with, that means that there's just more stuff for you to do. And oftentimes, especially in church, we're afraid to get involved sometimes because we feel like the more that we give ourselves to, the more that we're going to have to do. But what I've found is that the bigger things get, the less I really have to do because I have more people that do things. And so the less I have to do, but I just got to focus in on the more important things and do it better. And so the shift in thinking is that, man, I want it to grow. I want our church to grow. I want our community to grow. I want things to get bigger and better, only because that allows each one of us to become more focused on what we're gifted in. And so if you're thinking, hey, I know I should serve here, but I'm not sure what I should do. Well, let's find out what you're gifted in and let's begin to focus you where you're best and let's let somebody else do the rest. Like that, it's kind of a poet and I didn't know it kind of thing. Anyway, sorry, but it's that's this perspective thing working. The more you find out and the more you know, the more different you can look at it and begin to see things different. I used to think success was the more I had, you know, the more money that I made, the more stuff that I had, the more things that I accumulated, the more successful I was. It was about what I had versus what I think success and what I've learned it to really be. And it's about success being not what you have, but about who you are. John Maxwell said that he defines success as it being that it's when those who know you and love you most respect you the most. When those that know you best and are closest to you love and respect you more, that's success. And I don't know about you, but I love, you know, to have those around me love me and respect me more. That's how I know it. You know, yesterday was my birthday, so you can all wish me happy birthday later in the lobby and drop your gifts off. But seriously, it was my birthday, and so, you know, on Facebook, well, it helps remind us about that, and so it was really cool because I got all these reminders, you know, all these happy birthday requests, and it was just amazing to see it, and I even kind of posted something along with it because I realized that, man, there were people that, or my family, who reached out to me, you know, which, you know, hopefully family reaches out to you, except for my dad. My dad didn't even call me yesterday, and he's here today, and so he said, oh, happy birthday, by the way, you know, like, I meant to call you. Thanks, Dad, I appreciate it. Love you, too. Anyway, so that just means I'm going to get him on his birthday, so I'm going to get him somehow. But anyway, no, but I got all these people, family, and then it was like people that I grew up with, and it was people that, you know, from the old neighborhood, and there was people that I went to high school with and people I went to college with, and I got to looking through it, and it was people that I got in trouble with. And it was people that I'd helped get out of trouble. And it was then people who had gotten me out of trouble sometimes. And it was people that knew me before Christ in my life and people that know me after Christ in my life. And so there's some people that's like when they hear the words Pastor Ron together, they kind of freak out a little bit because they like, seriously, that dude's a preacher? But it's just, it was amazing to see how that has come together. And so I took away from all of that is that, man, I'm just a rich dude. I don't have a lot of money, but man, God's blessed me with so many people in my life from, you know, churches I've been at and places I've been and just, you know, there was people from other countries and all. It was just amazing to say that. And so I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that that's when I realized that, you know, I could have a lot of money in the bank, but it just wouldn't be able to buy the feeling that I had yesterday when I began to go through all of those things. So thank you to all of you that were able to do that, and the rest of you, you just had to give me double. Now, so, but that's success. And when you begin to shift your thinking, it's not all about working all the hours and busting your tail to just try to have stuff. It can be about spending time with your family and really digging in there. So shifting your thinking is what allows things to be different. I've been working on this perspective thing in my household. I keep telling my wife that, you know, people don't really care whether our house is clean or not when they come over. I keep telling her, listen, it doesn't matter if I leave my shoes laying around. It doesn't matter if I leave dishes in the sink. It doesn't matter if I, you know, clothes are just, you know, piled up over there. It just doesn't matter. It ain't worked yet, y'all. So she ain't bought it. So if that's not the case, I guess that's how it's going to be, because when companies come into our house, he gets a little crazy. And so we hadn't shifted that perspective yet, but I'm working on it. Anyway, so that's what we're doing. And we're studying down through the book of Philippians, pulling out some really major themes that are helping us be able to just have this mind shift, this shift in thinking and perspective in life, to be able to deal with some of the difficult things that we go through, to deal with the good things that we go through properly, and to be able to see life the way that God wants it to be. And so that's where we're at. If you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, you can go ahead and get to the book of Philippians. We're going to be hanging out in there today. Or if you got a program when you came in, all of it's going to be on there as well. So that's where we're going. A little review on the book of Philippians. It was written by Paul the Apostle. It was written as a thank you letter to the Philippians, because they had given him this gift to help him. The interesting thing about it is he's writing this, thanking them for what they've done for him, and he's in prison. He's chained up, chained to these guards, not, you know, all around the hour, all day long. And so he's in a place that most of us would look at and say, man, there's just not much to be thankful for. But there he is. He's writing this letter, encouraging them. And so he's helping them to be able to see things from a different perspective. 16 times in the book of Philippians, at least, that he talks about the mind and how important our mind and our thoughts are. And so sometimes, you know, I think our positive thinking kind of deal maybe gets a bad rap, but I want to help us today to be able to see where that comes through the scripture. And Paul's very clear about how we think and how we look at things, how it can help us have this shift in thinking to be able to have true joy in our lives. And so that's what we're going to do here, talking about how you think and what you may remember, what your attitude is, and those sorts of things. Here's what he says in Philippians 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then verse 2, he says, then make my joy complete. This is kind of what we talked about last week, this theme of having complete joy. Having joy no matter what's going on in your life, being able to see things from a perspective that allows you to be thankful even when things are tough. He says, to make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Man, if we could ever get this part right, just in the church, if we could get like-minded and have one purpose and one love and begin to just work together in the church, the big church, the overall church, and even sometimes even in our little church, if we could ever just get focused and get pointed in the right direction, I'm telling you, we could see things change. We wouldn't have to worry about government shutdowns. We wouldn't have to worry about all the other stuff. We could begin to just see love move through it. Now, I'm not one of those, you know, peace, love, and chicken grease guys. But I do believe that love is the foundation of who we are to be. And so he's saying, listen, you got to have that same love. You got to be focused in together. And when you have that, things begin to change and your perspective can be totally different. This attitude of like-minded, it comes from the Greek word phroneo. And it means to set your affection on, to think, and to be single-minded. Now today we're going to talk a little bit, or actually a lot, about some Greek words. And so that may just kind of go over some of your head. It does me too. But that's why we're doing it. That's why we're talking about it. Because it's important to get to the foundation of these things so that we then can begin to see them the way that God wants us to see them and begin to learn. But Paul says that he wants us to have this phroneo, this like-mindedness focused in together. When we look at the scriptures, there's so many powerful scriptures about how important our thoughts and our minds are to be focused in. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Paul says, I want you to be like-minded or single-minded. Paul tells the Romans, he said, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, His perfect will. Anybody just want to know what God's will is? Man, I think we all do. We may not say it that way. We might not come across that way and that be the words that we use, but we want to know, why in the world are we here? God, what is it that you want to do with me? Now, I look around the room, and some of you I know pretty well. Some of them I don't know so well. Some of you I don't know at all, but gosh, I know that I just see the talent and the abilities that so many of you have. And I'm like, God, He could just do amazing stuff with you if you would just get it, right? And sometimes I tell myself, Ron, He could do really cool stuff with you if you would just ever get it. Because sometimes it's just hard for us to be focused in. But He's saying, if you want to know what His will is, then don't be conformed to what the world says. Don't just try to live it the way the world lives it, but focus in on what Christ has for you. Paul told the Corinthians to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Sometimes if I could just grab the thought before it becomes an action, my life would be so much better. You know, anybody with me on that? Just you think it and you mess it. Man, it's a mess before you can even blink. Paul told the Philippians, he said, whatever is noble and pure and right and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on such things. How often do we think on such negative stuff? I mean, if you watch CNN, if you watch the news, okay, because if you watch the news very much, I'm telling you, you're probably not thinking on what's noble and what's right. Your mindset's probably not there because it just won't let you. Think on it. Get yourself out. If you're watching the news and not reading your Bible, I'm telling you, it's impossible to be focused that way. I know. Sometimes I just had to turn it off because I know it's just affecting me that way. Think on what's noble and admirable and right and lovely. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You know, unfortunately, we got a lot of people in our society that are thinking not much of themselves. They've been told they're not much. They've been told there's not much good in them, that they're never going to turn out to be much. You know what we get when we keep telling people that? That's what we get. You keep beating somebody down and keep telling them that they're never going to be anything, that's exactly what they're going to be most of the time. Because as a man thinketh, so he is. Little King James for the rest of you there. But this mind shift has got to take place. And we've got to begin to look at things differently. Here's the first one that I want us to write down. How you think determines what you become. You got a program, you got some little blanks there you can fill in. But how you think determines what you become. Now, I know what that sounds like to a lot of us. That sounds like, man, that's some, you know, that's some positive thinking message. And, man, that's just all good and man, that's not biblical. I'll argue you that to the death. That's about as biblical as it can be. As how you think determines what you become. No, Ron. God determines what you become. Absolutely. He created you and me for a specific purpose. There are things that you were made to do that I'm not made to do. There's things I'm made to do that you're not made to do. We are made to achieve the purpose that God... But how many people do you know that aren't fulfilling the purpose that they're created for? And why is that? Because they're thinking they should be doing something different. And they're focused on other things than what they should be focused in on. If you want to be great like somebody, don't copy what they do. Don't just, if somebody's successful, don't just pick out what they do and do it. No, learn how they think and how they come to the conclusion to do what they do, and then apply that to where you are. And then God will begin to use that to grow you. For Paul, everything was about Jesus. You know, last week he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everything that Paul did, he focused in on who Christ was and who he was in his life. But then he says, don't just think like each other. Listen, don't think like me. Don't think like somebody else. Don't think like you. No, think like Christ. You see, if you begin to think like other people, you're going to get what other people got. And sometimes that's not a good thing. But if we begin to think like Christ and begin to think like he thinks and all that, then things become different. How you think determines what you become. You think like Christ, you become what Christ wants you to be. Here's the second mind shift. Because if you're thinking like Christ, then you're going to live like Christ lived. If you think like he thought, you'll live like he lived. If you want your life to be different and you want it to be more of what God created you to be, then begin to live that way because of what you think. Think like Jesus. Think like he thought. Look at things the way that he looked at them. Begin to allow God to just use you to let those things come out in your life. Maybe you're thinking, wait a minute. I don't, Ron, he's Jesus. He's God. He thinks like that because that's who he is. I can't think like that. I want to help us to begin to see that a little bit different. Because we often say, I can't do that. I can't be as generous as Jesus. I can't be as full of grace like Jesus. I can't seek to please God like Jesus did. I can't do all of those things. But if you begin to think like he thought, you can begin to live like he lived. Without a shadow of doubt, if you look at Jesus' life, you look at his teaching and the way that he lived, there are two things that come out glaring, just huge, big neon things that jump out of how he taught and how he lived. And he told us what those were. The scripture is very clear. He said what was most important. What did Jesus say was most important? To love God, right? That God was most important. And they asked him, said, hey, Jesus, what's most important? What's, you know, they were trying to trick him. He said, what's most important? He said, you know the scriptures, love God and love others as yourself. Two things that he taught very clearly, two things that he lived out, was that I'm going to put God first, and I'm going to put others second, right? That's the way he lived it. And so if we want to live like Jesus lived, we got to begin to think like Jesus thought, and so we've got to put God first in our lives. Begin to see him as who he is. Begin to see him as the one who created us and formed us, and who the one that's got the answers that we're searching for, and begin to do everything that we can do to have a relationship with him that allows us to grow. Let your mind be renewed and be transformed into seeing it that way. Not because Ron says so, but because Jesus said so. Let yourself be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And begin to think like Jesus thought. And then you begin to live like he lived. Paul taught this, Philippians 2, verse 3. He said, do nothing. Say that with me. Say it on three. One, two, three. Do nothing. Come on, a little bit better. Do nothing. What's the definition of nothing? Nothing, right? If it is, whether it's Greek or Hebrew or whatever, it's nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Can I just be honest with you? I think the majority of things I do are out of vain conceit. They come right out of this. They come out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Why? Because I'm human. Because that's what our nature leads us to be. If I just do things the way that I want to do them, listen, that's what I'm going to get. Now, some of you are going to find this hard to imagine, but I used to be about 215. I used to be in pretty good shape. Yeah. You know why? Because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in shape. I wanted to be athletic. I wanted to be in shape. I wanted to feel good. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted the girls to be chasing me around. I'm serious, right? So I was in shape. I ate so I was in shape. I worked out so I lived my life so I would be in shape. Guess what? I decided I didn't want to be in shape no more. I decided I liked food. And I decided that, you know what, I don't have time to do all those things. I decided that, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay if I put on a few. And that was the few ago, right? It happens. When I leave myself up to myself, then I begin to do things that all of a sudden stuff begins to taste good. And stuff begins to, you know, it kind of makes you feel good because it's, you know, it's comforted you because you were having a bad day, Ron. You can go by. Yesterday, you know, I'll say it again, it's my birthday. Just want to make sure everybody gets it. But yesterday was my birthday, and I said, you know, I'm gonna do some things. And so I work kind of part-time at Stanley Funeral Home. Some of you know that. We had a funeral yesterday. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go work with the guys, and I'm gonna do something for them. So I went through the drive-thru at Bojangles and got some cinnamon biscuits for those guys. Guess who ate most of those cinnamon biscuits? It was for me. I'm just going to be honest. Anyway, so I did pay for the ladies' breakfast behind me. That made it all good, right? Those calories God took care of those. Anyway, so, but we just do things for ourselves if we're left up to ourselves. But he says, listen, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Maybe we just have a really big problem with that part. I'll be the first to admit it, that's me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. We got to begin to consider others. We got to begin to love other people as we love ourselves. We take good care of ourselves. Some of y'all, you know, you dress good, you look good, you made put your makeup on and fixed your hair and you know, all this stuff to make you, because for you. But we dress up the outside and often we forget about the inside. He says, don't do anything about for yourself, but begin to think about others, not in the sense of that you want them to look at you and say you look good, but we want to do things so that other people feel good about themselves. That they begin to grow and begin to are able to become all they can be. There's this word in there for humility. It's a Greek word, taponophrousine. Taponophrousine is this modesty. It's a humility of mind, this lowliness of mind. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in taponophrousine, but in lowliness of mind. Choose to put other people above you and put yourself down lower so that you can lift them up. And guess what? You know what, when we lift people up, that doesn't put us down. That doesn't put us underneath of them. No, we get raised up with them. greatest things that we can do is do something for somebody else and then allow the blessing of that to just kind of resonate with who we are. Pick people up and you'll get picked up. But consider them. Consider others better than you. See how you then begin to be considered better than them in their mind. And they begin to do the things for you that you want and desire to happen. Philippians 2 verse 7 says, each of you should think not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. And then there's this little phrase, your attitude. Say that with me, say your attitude. Your attitude, right? Your attitude. Come on, say it with a little attitude. Say, your attitude. Right? Ready? On three. Let's do it together. One, two, three. Your attitude, right? Your attitude is important. It's this little thing that makes this big difference in who we are. This little way of thinking that just can totally change our perspective and how we look at things. Sometimes we just got to have a shift in our attitude to make things better. You know, one of the things that, you know, maybe you weren't the sharpest tack in the box, right? Some of us may can identify. I don't know. Maybe y'all can. I don't know, but because I'm pretty sharp. But anyway, no. But maybe that's what you've been. You've been the, you know, kind of felt like you weren't the smartest one and all that. You end up in the lower half of the class, and you can let that really beat you up. Man, I'm lower half of the class, and do so well. You know, I'm not that smart. You could keep looking at it that way, but you know what? You could also turn that around a little bit. Because somebody had to make the top half possible. You know, begin to look at it a little positive there. Hey, I just made y'all look good. That's what that was about. You know, a little shift in attitude, it begins to look completely different, doesn't it? And now you begin to think things differently. Little boy used to go out in the field. The best hitter ever. Throw the ball up, swing, miss. Ball up, throw it up, best hitter ever, miss. Ball up, throw it, best hitter ever, miss again. Wow. Best pitcher ever. Oh, yeah. Best pitcher ever. Yeah. See, a little shift in attitude changed the whole picture. Because you went from being the greatest hitter to the greatest pitcher just in a matter of you know, swings and misses. A little change in attitude can change how we see things. Your attitude can really mess things up. And the attitude is just you have begun to do things, and when you begin to do them and you repeat them over and over again, they just become part of who you are, don't they? See, that's what an addiction is. We talked about that a little bit last week. An addiction just starts because you do something one time, but then you do it again. You kind of like how that went. And you do it one more time. And then before long, you've done it so many times in a row that now it just becomes part of who you are. And you do it because it's met whatever need it needed to meet. And it began with just once and twice and three times. And you just created that in your life. Some of us have got good habits, right? Some of y'all are at the gym every day. I get it. Stink. But anyway, you're at the gym every day. You eat perfect all the time. You got good habits. Some of us got bad habits. We don't go to the gym no day. We don't eat no good food, right? You know, some of us, you know, got bad English. But anyway, we can have good habits, poor habits, whatever, but they began because you started it once and you just let it continue to follow through. And now your attitude has become part and focus on this. But Paul says, listen, your attitude's got to be different. He says, your attitude should be the same, not of that of everybody else, not that of the world, but your attitude should be that of Jesus Christ, of Christ, that now you don't have the attitude of everybody else, but you got it of him. He says, what is his attitude? It says, who, being in very nature God, you did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And so often the world has told us that we got to pick ourselves up. We got to hold ourselves up. We got to make us look good. We got to promote ourselves. We got to have more Facebook friends than anybody else, right? Come on, man, you make a post. How many times do you go to see How many people have clicked on it and liked it? Come on, we all do it at times, you know? Sometimes I get these little spiritual thoughts. I go in there, and then I catch myself looking to see when God gave me a thought to see how many people liked what I said. And I'm like, God, that's terrible. That's the attitude of the world. It's not the attitude of Christ. We get very focused in on promoting ourselves, but here's a shift in thinking that pleasing God isn't about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. It's not about promoting us. It's about abandoning us. It's about not lifting me up, but forgetting about me and lifting God and other people up. See, please, when we want to please God, if we want to know His will, and then we got to be willing to not be trying to lift us up, but to lift other people up. To forget about what may be good for us for the moment, and focus in on what may be good for those around us. That word grasped in there, when you look at the literal meaning of it, it means to plunder, to rape, to take. It says, if you kind of think about it, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be plundered or raped or grasped, taken away, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. When you begin to put it in perspective, you think about, man, go back to the Garden of Eden. See, some of us still think that's a fairy tale, but the reality is when God created man and he put him there, and they were without sin and they were made to have a relationship with God, that this situation was perfect. But what happened? Satan came in and said, listen, you can be like God. Here's all you got to do. He's trying to keep you from having something. And man, sin was born. It was entered into the world out of that very thing. And we're still trying it today. No equality with God can be attained. It's not what's there. It's not about self-promotion. It's not about picking us up and trying to be like God. It's about abandoning ourselves and saying, you know what? I want to be what God wants me to be. And when we do that, then He's able to use us in great ways to change the world around us. See, sometimes I think we're so focused on changing the world that we forget to change our world. That we have influence on. And if we begin to focus right here instead of trying to make all these big things and just do what we need to do right, then things will be completely different around us and our world truly would be different. We've got to lose our life in Christ to find Christ's life in us. We've got to lose us in it to find Him in it. And when we do, we'll find what we're created to be. As long as, just bear with me for a second. So, in the scriptures, what did God take and create the earth from? What was that? Nothing, right? He created it from nothing. So, we have a God who takes nothing and creates something from it, right? So as long as you and I are nothing, He can create something from us, can't He? But what do we not want to be? Nothing. You see, we try to create our own world. We try to create our world out of everything around us. But as long as we can stay nothing, God can do something with us. The moment we try to create our own world, then man, we got a problem. And that's where most of us spend our time. Is trying to create our own. Well, we've worked hard to do it. We've tried to gain all the things that we can. We've tried to take all the everything that we can get our hands on and create something. But if we look at who God really is, He don't want us to take all of our stuff. He wants to take us and just do something with it. and create us and put us where he wants us to be and allow us to live out this incredible purpose that he has for us. As long as we're nothing, he can do something with us. The moment we begin to try to do it ourselves, we have a problem in it and we begin to lose sight of all of this. The Greek word in here is doulos. It's a slave, a servant, permanently devoted to the will of another. When Paul writes all of the epistles, when he writes of the other writings that he has, he always introduces himself as the apostle because he kind of gives his title so that people will understand where he's coming from. He doesn't do it in Philippians because they know him. And he's making sure that they understand that, hey, listen, I'm not writing this to you because of my position. I'm writing this to you because I'm right there with you. I'm there to serve you. I'm there to help you. I'm there to help God create everything that he wants to create in you. When we come with the attitude of a servant, and we come with the attitude of, hey, how can I serve other people, and how can I lift up other people, then God takes that, and he begins to do amazing stuff with it. Listen, don't hear me say you can't have stuff. I'm glad that some of you have stuff. I like to borrow it and use it, okay? It's not about not having stuff. It's not about working hard. It's not about any of that. So don't hear me busting on anybody for that. That's not what I'm trying to say. Keep working hard. Keep doing whatever it is. Just make sure that you've lined it up with what God created you to do. And I promise you, your stuff will be a whole lot more fun. And you'll be able to do a whole lot more with it than you can by just trying to achieve it on your own. Here's the mind shift. Serving is not what I do. A servant is who I am. I think oftentimes we work so hard in the church to get people to serve. Well, listen, we're going to have next weekend, we're going to have a ministry fair, and there's all kinds of opportunities for you to get plugged into ministries that we have here, whether it's serving with our kids or our impressions team or just being willing to go and just, you know, feed people at the community inn or just whatever it may be. There's going to be all kinds of places and ways for you to get yourself plugged in and serve. But we work so hard to do it, and what we're trying to do is get people to serve. But what I really want you to become is not to just serve, but I want you to become a servant. Man, I hope that you don't ever see me as somebody who just is here to take whatever I can get. I'm here to serve you. That's what I want to do. That's my ambition, is to serve. I mess it up sometimes, but you know, because I'm me and I'm a human and it gets in the way. But my goal is to serve because that's who I am in Jesus. If I want to live like Jesus lived, I got to think like he thought. And he thought like a servant because he says that's what I came to be. Serving is not what we do. If we're just doing it because it's what we're supposed to do, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. It won't be fun. It won't be fulfilling. And it'll be really hard for what's supposed to happen out of it to be done. But when we begin to see that, man, that's who I was created to be, was to love God and to love others, then, man, he can do something amazing with that. Serving is not what we do. Serving is who we are. I know, I was thinking yesterday, because yesterday was what? It was my birthday. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of people, and we look at it as a day for us, and people kind of, they say that, you know, hope you have a good day, and they kind of promote stuff off on you. And you know what I did with my day yesterday? You know what I really did? I kind of joked about the cinnamon biscuits, but I got up yesterday, I went and I picked up the van for the youth. The youth are getting ready to go tonight to Winter Jam. Anybody want to go with us, you're welcome to go. If you're a middle school or high school student, we'd love for you to come and go with us. If you know what Winter Jam is, it's just a whole bunch of Christian bands that get together, and they are going to blow the roof off the building tonight in Charlotte. You can go with us. See Missy if you want some more information about that. She'll help you. But I went yesterday to pick up the van so that we could have the van so the kids could go. Now, some of you may say, well, that was your job. Well, no, it really wasn't. It was Missy's job, if we want to be technical. But I wanted to do that because I know she has a life, and I wanted to serve her and Chad by going and taking care of that for him. That's why I did it. And then I really did go and buy those biscuits for the people I work with, and they got theirs. But, you know, I was in line, and God was like, you know what? How about this not being about you and about somebody else? And so I pulled up to the window, and I said, you know what? It's my birthday today. I just like telling people that. But I said, you know what? I want to buy that lady's breakfast behind me because I want to celebrate my birthday with her. And so that's what I did. I bought her breakfast. And I know what y'all are thinking. Did you wait around and see what she said? No, I never do. I drive off every time. I try as fast as I can because I don't ever want that to be about me. But I just wanted to bless her on my birthday. And so then I went to the funeral home and worked there and served a family who was going through the loss of a husband and father and friend. And I wanted to go serve them. Because I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about them. And some of you may know, but yesterday my mother-in-law was able to come home from Stanley Manor, and she's going to come and she's going to live with us. And so for my birthday, I got my mother-in-law living with me. Woo! She's here in the room, so I'm being really nice about it, but no, I'm just kidding. But really, some of you may say, man, that's tough. That's not good. But you know what? I'm really, really honored that we get to do that. Not everybody gets an honor like that, to care about somebody. See, I'm not trying to like make you think I'm all that, because I'm not. I'm just trying to think, you know what? I wanted to be able to serve people all day. I didn't want to be served. I just wanted to lift people up. I wanted that lady to find out somebody bought her breakfast for their birthday. I mean, it's kind of funny. I just want to know what's going on in her mind. But I just wanted her to be able to celebrate with me. I want my mother-in-law to be comfortable in that home until she can get on her feet or whatever, as long as she needs to stay. That's what I want to do. And see, as long as I think that serving is just something I do, I'm going to get tired of that. I'm going to get worn out by trying to make things happen. But as long as I realize that I'm a servant, and God's created me to love others as myself, then I'm going to be able to do that. So I'm not trying to pat me on the back. I'm not trying to boast. I promise that's not it. I just want us to be able to understand that if we can get the mind of Christ and begin to see if we'll do things not out of duty but out of a response of who Jesus is in our lives, then things begin to be different around us. Our perspective becomes totally different, and our mind shifts from being focused on us to other people. And on to what God's plan is for us. Life's hard enough living it outside of what God wants for you, outside of what you've been created for. Paul says, listen, you don't do it like the world. Do it like Christ. Here's what it says in Philippians 2, beginning verse 8, he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus gave his life on a cross, paying the price for your sin and my sin. He became such a servant that he would give his life so that you and I could be forgiven of our sin, our selfish ambition, and our vain conceit. We could be set free and forgiven from the bondage of sin for all eternity by trusting in the fact that Jesus died on that cross, paying the price. He was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, God loved us so much that he didn't just leave him there. He raised him from the dead so we could be forgiven of our sins, set free from the penalty of it, not just for the day that we decided, but for all eternity. That's why this is so important. Because maybe today you get that, but somebody else around you doesn't. And when we live out this mind of Christ, and other people can see it, and it can become who they are as well. I don't get it right most of the time, I'm just going to tell you. But my goal is to do it as best I can all the time. To live it out in front of you and everybody else so that you think I'm a really good guy, but to think that, man, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it too. Man, I'm telling you, there are people who are struggling in all kinds of things in life, and the more that they can see us make it through it, the better they're going to be able to be positioned to do it themselves. Here's the final mind shift. Because it's important that we get it. He died on the cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We've got to be willing to shift this. Paul could say this, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He could say, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may do the will of God. He could say, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He can say, in house arrest, chained to people, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does a dude chained up to people, how is he able to say that? If you think like Jesus thinks, you'll be able to live like Jesus lived. If you have the mind of Christ and the attitude that he had, then you can bear it. How in the middle of a marriage that's falling apart can you say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, God, no matter what, because you've helped me to get through this. God, I trust you because I know that you're the one that has the ability to get me through it. God, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this financially. I can't even answer my phone anymore because everybody's hunting me down wanting money. How in the world am I going to get through this? Begin to focus on who he is first, and then allow him to teach you how to get yourself back out of that financially. God, how am I going to deal with this child? This child that won't listen to me and won't do what I ask and is gone on their own way and they're doing their own thing. God, how can I do this? How can I not be anxious? How can I deal with what the doctor just told me? How can I survive it? How can I go on knowing that I'm not sure what's next? Here's the mind shift. My joy isn't based on what happens to me, but on what God is doing in me and through me. The moment we begin to see that our joy isn't focused on what happens to me, but on what God's doing in me and through me. That's how Paul could say the things that he said. It's how you and I can get through what we get through. It's by focusing in on that. Philippians 2, verse 7, Paul says this, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Even if I'm getting ready to die, even if they're getting ready to execute me because I'm chained in prison and I'm doing things that they don't want me to do, things aren't going the way that I want them to do, but how in the world am I going to get through it? I'm going to rejoice. And so I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know your stories. I don't know all of the things that may be under the surface that you walked in here with today. But all I can tell you is your joy, if your joy can't be based on what happens to you, you got to see what God's doing in you and through you. You got to rejoice in the midst of knowing that he cares and he's there. So today, Maybe it's time to abandon the self-promotion and focus in on what God wants for your life. Maybe today it's just time to have the mind that Christ had and the attitude that he had and begin. Maybe it's just time to shift it all around to be what God wants it to be in your life. If you want to experience joy, listen, it's not going to be found in a bottle. It's not going to be found in a person. It's not going to be found in relationships or education or finances or any of that stuff. I'm telling you, it's going to be found when you come to a point and say, you know what, God, I want to put you first. And I don't want to put others second. Then he begins to do what he wants to do in your life. Let's pray together. God, we thank you today for your word, to be encouraged by it. God, it's sometimes hard to hear it and say, but God, I'm praying. But God, I'm asking you to do something different. But God, I'm going to church. Nothing's changing. And God, you know that all those things are good. We should pray. We should go to church. We should ask you to do things different. But God, until we begin to accept the fact that we have to make choices, that we have to get out of the way and let you move in our lives, that things can't change. It's when we begin to think differently and think like you think that we can live like you lived. So God, today I pray for minds to be shifted today. That if they've been focused on themselves, God, that they'd be focused on you and others. To begin to allow you to make changes in their life, to bring them to the place that they were created to be. God, I ask you to move freely in this place. Maybe today somebody needs to come and just accept you for the first time and just say, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm not where I need to be. I'm separated from you. I don't have a relationship with you because, God, I want to do this my way. But today, I changed my thinking. Today, I changed my heart. I want you to come and live in me and forgive me of my sin and God, to make me new. I want to think like you today. Maybe today someone's here, God, that just been doing it their own way and it's just time for them to change and come and follow you. To not just serve out of duty, but to serve because a servant is who they are. You've created them to be there, to love you and to love other people. So God, whatever it is you need to do in us today, I ask you to have the freedom to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.